Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Thank y'all, Nova and Grace, and all you stellar kids from VBS. What a great week. That was day four. We're almost to day five. And what happened on day four for us is we took time and made sure that we gave all the kids a chance to give their lives to Jesus. So, by the way, you know, y'all heard of altar calls? The altar call was like, hey, if y'all want Jesus, come. And the kids went like that. And it was just, Jesus had been here all week with them. His spirit was working and their hearts were so receptive. Well, y'all, this morning, we're in day four for us, and we want to make sure that everyone here gets that same opportunity this morning. Our scripture that we're reading this morning is also a passage that the kids studied this week. Please stand, please hear, and please receive. This is God's word from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through the town. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't see because of the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot right where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, for I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus, he came down at once and he welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter. He has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, Jesus talking about himself, the Messiah, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord Jesus, this morning, let your word come alive to us. Lord, we've seen your word and your spirit alive in these children. Lord, come alive in us and make this word not just be words spoken 2,000 years ago, but the same way you came to Zacchaeus. Lord Jesus, come to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. So look, this morning, and I know probably you've heard this story, know this story, but this morning, there are three important realities that we need to know about Zacchaeus. First, Zacchaeus was a man who had great needs and struggles. Great needs and struggles. Zacchaeus is the patron saint of short people, right? He immortalized in the song, y'all probably know this one, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. All right, so anyway, I know all about wee little man. This is a picture of me, I think in fifth grade. Do y'all see me there? Anybody? The kids are going, I don't see you up there. You see the little guy? There's two guys holding the sign. That's me on your left, and that's David Miner on the right. Now, why do you get to hold the sign in fifth grade? That's right. You're the littlest one there. Now, look, I always wanted to be bigger. I mean, I used to go, and I had a closet in my bedroom, and it had one of those bars that hung across to hang clothes on, and I used to hang there like that. You know, if I could just get an inch or a half inch. Obviously, it didn't work. Anyway, we all have stuff in our lives that we may not like about ourselves. We have stuff in our life that we think limits us. Maybe you don't feel too short. Maybe you feel too tall. Maybe you feel too wide. Maybe you feel too skinny. Maybe you feel too slow. Maybe you don't like your hair, your nose, or your big toe. I don't know. But you know what? My friend Quentin Gibson says it this way. He says, God made you, and God don't make no junk, so you're not junk. You are fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully made in the very image of God. The world didn't make you. Kids, adults, the world didn't make you. God made you. So the world doesn't get to say who you are. Your worth and your significance is not based on what you look like. Your worth and your significance is not based on what you do. Your worth and your significance is not based on what you possess or what you achieve. Your worth and your significance is based in the God that created you. It's based in the God that loves you. It's based in the God that is here for you this very morning. Another one of Zacchaeus' struggles was his wealth and success. Now, I can hear some of you saying, oh boy, I would love to have that problem, right? Zacchaeus' wealth was a problem because the way he got wealthy was by taking advantage of others. As the chief tax collector of Jericho, Zacchaeus was responsible to go and collect taxes from families. So he's supposed to go get $20 from this family, but what he does, he takes Guido and Bubba with him, and they force the family not to pay $20, but $30. And so Zacchaeus is wealthy. He's got the biggest house in town. He's got a Mercedes donkey. He's got a Hummer camel. He has a swimming pool in his backyard. He has everything that money can buy, but money cannot buy happiness. Money cannot buy peace and joy. Money cannot buy purpose and fulfillment in life. Zacchaeus has lived his whole life as if it was all about him. His life was characterized by radical selfishness, what sociologists call radical narcissism. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Zacchaeus got everything he always wanted, only to find out that what he wanted left him completely empty on the inside. It's like, you know, we have a ladder in here. I started to put it up. It's like Zacchaeus climbed this huge ladder, step by step by step, and he got to the top of the ladder, you know, ready to go, look at me, look at me. But the ladder's leaning against the wrong building. Y'all, this morning, one thing I know about all of us in the house, one thing I know about our human condition is that all of us have hurts and problems and struggles. We have wanted life to be here, but for whatever the reason, we've experienced life sometimes way down here. We all have needs, right? Second important reality about Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus was a man who was seeking, he was searching, he was looking, he was hungry for something more. He's lonely on the inside. He's despised as a traitor to his own people on the outside. He has the stuff of the world, but he has zero peace about who he is and where he is in life. From the outside, if you looked at Zacchaeus, his life looks so full. But Zacchaeus himself is fully aware of the emptiness within. Blaise Pascal was a brilliant mathematician and philosopher who lived in the 1600s. And Pascal said this. He said, within every human being, there is a God-shaped vacuum. Now, when I was growing up, for me, it was football and academics and friends and popularities, all this stuff that I tried to stuff in here. But every time I tried to put all that stuff in here, it just left me more and more empty. You see, this is a God-shaped vacuum. And God alone can fill you and fill me. It seems that Zacchaeus has a crater the size of the moon in his soul. He is hurting and struggling. He's ready and desperate for his life to be different. No matter what it takes, he wants his life to be different. And so when he hears that Jesus is passing through Jericho, Zacchaeus does two things that grown men and grown Jewish men never ever did. He ran and he climbed. He ran past the crowd. He climbs a tree. Both of these actions were considered shameful acts. The acts were completely against the social customs of the day. But Zacchaeus, y'all, is no longer concerned about what other people think about him. Zacchaeus is searching, seeking, hungry after something far more important than the approval of others. my hunch is that Zacchaeus had heard that there was something different about this man named Jesus. He had heard about Jesus' teaching that the kingdom of God is for all people. He had heard about Jesus' teaching that God loves us no matter what we do. He had heard about Jesus' power to heal the sick and set the captive free. He'd heard that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He'd heard that Jesus came to forgive our sin and change our lives. And so he runs. And so he climbs until he can see the one whom he is longing to see. I wonder this morning if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired yet. I wonder this morning if you're really ready for your life to be different. I wonder this morning if you're really ready to not just know about Jesus in your head, but to know him in your heart. On a scale from 1 to 10 this morning, how is it with your soul? Okay, 1's over here by the rocket and 10's over here by the lunar module. I think that's what that is anyway. I mean, I don't know, maybe, any truth, but man, I'm just a 2. I'm just barely surviving. I'm just really struggling. Or, I'm a 5. It just like, it doesn't matter what I do or don't do. Life just seems so boring, so empty. So I'm just lukewarm. Well, Andy, I'm kind of a 6 or a 7 because, I really feel myself moving. I feel myself changing. I want to be over there where God wants me to be. Well, y'all, I'm here to tell you that today is day 10. Today is the day of 10. Today is the day to get right with God. Today is the day to get found. Today is the day of salvation for you. Okay, third, last important reality about Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus was a man whose life was radically transformed by his encounter with Jesus. I mean, he is obviously one way before he meets Jesus, and he's obviously radically different after he meets Jesus, right? Please notice that Jesus comes all the way to Zacchaeus. He walks straight up to him sitting in that tree. You see, that's one of the primary distinctives of Christianity. All the religions of the world tell us how humanity gets to God. But only in Christianity we have a God who comes to us. All the religions of the world tell us how humanity can get to God. Buddhism has its eightfold path, and Hinduism has nirvana. Islam has the 5 pillars. But only in Christianity do we have a God who comes all the way to us. Only in Christianity do we have a God who comes in all the way to us and puts on human skin so he can understand us. Only in Christianity do we have a God who comes all the way to us and takes on our sin, our punishment on that old rugged cross. Only in Christianity do we have a God who comes all the way to us in this very house, in this very moment, on this very morning. Only in Christianity do we have a God who comes all the way to you. All the way to you. Please notice that Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. He knows him. He knows everything there is to know about Zacchaeus, and he comes to him anyway. And he doesn't just know everything about Zacchaeus, he knows everything there is to know about us as well. He knows this morning that you're really struggling in your marriage right now. He knows that you're facing an unwanted job change. He knows that you've received a recent physical diagnosis that has you scared to death. He knows that you've been carrying around a deep hurt from your past that is paralyzing you in the present. He knows that you need to be set free from that addiction that is destroying you. Listen to David, 1,000 years before Jesus, 3,000 years ago, Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. But for a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, oh Lord. He knows you. He knows where you're hurting. He knows where you're struggling. He knows where you're sinning. He knows your dreams. He knows your passions. He knows where life's not the way you always thought it ought to be or should be or could be. He knows you. And he comes to you even now, especially now. Please notice that Jesus invites himself to supper. That Jesus invites himself to stay at Zacchaeus' house. You see, Jesus is not content with proximity. He is seeking relationship. Jesus doesn't want Zacchaeus to just know about him. Jesus wants Zacchaeus to truly know him. There are so many folks who say they believe in Jesus, but that belief in Jesus makes absolutely no difference in their lives. Christianity is not simply a religion to be believed in or adhered to, but Christianity is a relationship, an encounter with the living God that is to be experienced. Christianity is not a mere fire insurance policy to get you into heaven someday. Christianity is a powerful, transforming, loving relationship with Jesus that gets heaven into you today. This morning, you may have come here to hear your kids sing. You may have come here because, you know, yeah, I need to go. But the truth is, you came here this morning. You climbed up the tree called St. Luke so Jesus could come all the way to you. So Jesus could call you by name. So Jesus could come into your house this very morning. I want to close this morning with a story by Robert Fulghum. He wrote a best-selling book. It's called All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And in this book, he tells a story about kids playing hide-and-seek. Anybody ever play hide-and-seek? I see that hand. One, no, I see. Here's the story. He said, in the early dark of an October Saturday evening, the neighborhood children are playing hide-and-seek. How long since I played hide-and-seek? 30 years, maybe more. He said, I remember how I could become a part of the game in a moment if I was invited, right? Adults don't play hide and seek. Well, not for fun anyway. And he says, that's too bad. Did you have a kid in your neighborhood who always hid so good that nobody could find him? We did. After a while, we'd give up on him and go off, leaving him to rot wherever he was. And sooner or later, he'd show up all mad because we didn't keep looking for him. And we would get mad back because he wasn't playing the game the way it was supposed to be played. There's hiding and there's finding, we'd say. And he'd say it was hide and seek, not hide and give up. And we'd all yell about who made the rules and who cared about who anyway, and how we wouldn't play with him anymore if he didn't, you know, get it straight, and who needed him anyhow, and, you know, things like that. It was hide and seek and yell at each other. No matter what, though, the next time we played hide and seek, no matter what, the next time he would hide too good again. He's probably still hidden somewhere for all I know, Fulghum says. As I write this, the neighborhood game goes on. And there's a kid under a pile of leaves in the yard just under my window. And he's been there a long time now. And everybody else is found. And they're about to give up on him over at the base. I considered going out to the base and telling them where he's hiding, you know. He's over here, right? And I thought about setting the leaves on fire to drive him out. Finally, I just yelled out the window, get found, kid. And I think I scared him so bad he probably wet his pants and started crying and ran home to tell his mother. It's real hard to know how to be helpful these days, right? And then he says this. He says, a man I know found out last year he had terminal cancer. He was a doctor, and he knew about dying, and he didn't want to make his family and friends suffer through that with him. So he kept his secret. And he died. Everybody said how brave he was to bear his suffering in silence and not tell everybody and so on and so forth. But privately, his family and friends said how angry they were that he didn't need them, that he didn't trust their strength. And it hurt. It hurt so deeply that he never said goodbye. He hid too well. Getting found would have at least kept him in the game. Hide and seek, grown-up style. Wanting to hide, needing to be sought, confused about being found. I don't want anyone to know. What would people think? I don't want to bother anyone. Fulghum says this, better than hide and seek, I like the game called sardines. Anybody? In sardines, the person who is it goes and hides, and everybody goes looking for him. And when you find him, you get in with him and hide there with him. And pretty soon, everybody's hiding together, all stacked in a small space like a little pile of puppies. And pretty soon, somebody giggles and somebody laughs, and everybody gets found. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. The kids out in the street are hollering the cry, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free, which means come on in wherever you are. Come on in. It's a brand new game. And so say I, Fulghum says, to all those who have hid too good, get found. Get found, kid. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Y'all, this morning, get found. Get found. This morning, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how you've hidden, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Come on in wherever you are. It's time. It's time to get found. It's time for a new life, a new way of life, a new love in life with Jesus. Y'all, this morning, we're just going to do like we did with the kids. We're going to play a song. It's a pretty song. And when we played this song, what happened on Thursday was that the kids just came to the altar and gave their lives to Jesus because they were ready to be found. What is it about us that sometimes keeps us from being found? We're too good at hiding. This morning, bring your family, bring your kids. Come to this altar during this song and just say, Jesus, I belong to you. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, have me and let me have you. Amen. You guys be seated. Kids, come on back up. My grandson, four of our grandkids were here this week, and my grandson Judah turned 8 years old. Was it Monday? Tuesday. I can't remember Monday or Tuesday, but what I do know that is on Thursday, when we gave that invitation to come and receive Jesus, he came. So he had an earthly birthday, and he had a spiritual birthday the same week. And y'all, what happens at VBS, it's not supposed to be just about the 5 days that we're together. It's about all the days for the rest of your life into eternity. Don't miss God's love, the invitation of Jesus for you to get found. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Come on. It's time to come out from wherever you are. It's time to come home to the one who loves you. Amen. Okay, parents, great job. Jesus, great job. Our volunteers, our leaders, Delee, we love you. We praise God for you. Ashley, Kara. Okay. Thank y'all. Please come back. Bring your kids. And this is not about bringing your kids to St. Luke's. It's about bringing your kids to Jesus. And so that didn't happen just in an hour on Sunday morning. That happens every day. And so let the little children, those of us here, and all of us old ones out here, let the little children come unto Jesus. Y'all, we didn't take an offering this morning. VBS cost about $20,000. If you want to help with it, put some money back in the bag. Hey, ushers, y'all got to put out some offering plates back there. Oh, you got them? Okay, look. Thank y'all so much. Jesus, we love you. You are, oh God, you are stellar. You are greater than anything we will ever know or desire, and yet you have chosen to make yourself known to us. Lord Jesus, we belong to you. Have your way with us, not just at this camp this week, but in all the days to come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Love y'all.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.